Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Now, I had been very settled on how I was going to approach Easter months ago, actually, at this point. And a particular passage had come to my attention, and I thought, man, that's awesome. I think I'm gonna go that direction, and was just super settled on it. And I had gone basically and studied that entire way until last night at about 8 o'clock. The Lord kind of dropped a little bit different direction in my heart this morning. And I said, okay, Lord, if that's you, that's where we're going to go. Amen. And so this morning, I want to just talk to you about the fact that he is risen. Amen. So to do that this morning, I want to begin in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. And this is just one of those classic passages of scripture that relates very directly to this moment, this morning, when everything began to change. Amen. So if you would, I want you to turn there with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 this morning. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel appeared and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word." How many are thankful this morning that he is risen? You see, as I began to sit there yesterday and put my other thoughts together, that word risen just, it kept sticking out to me. And so this morning, not in way of trying to do something, I guess, corny, all right? But I really just felt like God very much laid an acronym for risen in my lap last night, all right? And so I want to start by going through that with the R representing resurrection. How many knows our lives are different today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen? You see, again, if we look back at chapter 28 and verse 6, he says, "He is not here, for he is risen," amen? It was a fact. And how many know this morning that despite what we may feel, despite what others may say, what other religions, what people may have in their own hearts and minds today, it is a fact that he is risen this morning. Amen. You see, Jesus had spoken of his death, but he had also spoken previously of his resurrection. And his disciples and followers believed him to be Christ, the Messiah. They confessed those very things with their mouth before him. They had witnessed the authority of his teaching. They had witnessed his power to do signs and wonders and miracles among them. They had even witnessed his ability to raise the dead. You see, on three separate occasions previous to this moment, they had witnessed his power to raise the dead back to life. Yet somehow in this moment of grief and loss, their Messiah had, you know, kind of somehow been suppressed within their hearts and minds. And the truth that he was the resurrection and the life, somehow now it seemed really far away. It seemed really distant in this moment. You see, the fact was Jesus was no longer in the grave, not because he was removed or relocated, but because he was risen from the dead. You see, and this was a fact that they were fixing to have to wrap their hearts and their minds around. And for us today, even in 2019, we can say so many things, but we need to wrap our hearts and our minds around the fact that he is not here. He's not in the tomb. There is no marker for him because he has risen this morning. Amen. He is alive. You see, verse 6, I love the way that the Passion Translation relates it because it says, "He isn't here, he has risen victoriously just as he said." How many knows that God is not a man that he should lie? Jesus said, "Hey, these things are gonna happen, but I need you to understand this, that on the third day, there's gonna be a wake-up call. And I'm going to come out of that grave and things are going to be forever changed. Amen. You see, the fact was death couldn't kill him and the grave could not hold him. The fact was and is forever that he will be the resurrection and the life from now and forever. You can't change that. We can choose not to accept it. We can choose not to believe it. We can try to even defame that. But it will not take away the fact that he is risen this morning. Amen. In that, I want to move on to the eye, and because the eye, I believe, represents invitation. Matthew, again, 28 and 6. In the second part of that verse, he says, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see. There's an invitation that is given. The fact of his resurrection led to this invitation for them to come and see, to step inside what was once his tomb, but was now a forever testimony. Amen. You see, it was an invitation to come and be a part of what was happening. How many of you have ever made the statement or a similar statement, well, I'll believe it when I see it with my own eyes? Because sometimes things are so outlandish, so illogical, so beyond comprehensive thought that we're like, you know what, that can't be possible. And I'll never believe it until I see it with my own eyes. So as they're standing there probably having those very same thoughts and in inner turmoil, the angel just says, hey, I need to invite you to do so. I need you to come and see because I need you to understand that this isn't a prank. This isn't a joke. This isn't something that we're, I need you to come and I need you to be a part of this moment right now. You see, sometimes we just need to come and see for ourselves and settle the matter within our own heart and within our own mind that he's not there. He's risen. Amen. We need to come and be a part of that invitation. The angel invited them to witness the facts. How many knows it's really easy to be a witness to something that you know to be factual? Now, if you don't know something to be factual, you can say, well, I've heard. I've been told. But when you become a witness to something, you can say, I have seen. I know, I have experienced. And how many knows that changes things, amen? So again, sometimes we just need to get to that point where we join the invitation and we can then say for ourselves, hey, you know what? He is risen, he is alive. You see, they needed to experience and see for themselves that the tomb was empty. This wasn't, again, the result of an elaborate hoax. This wasn't the result of someone stealing or hiding his body. You see, this was, however, the result of a crucified Savior dying in my place and in your place so that he could make an appointment with death, hell, and the grave so that he could break the news to them that they were no longer in power or in charge and that he was taking the keys back and for him, he would now hold all authority. You see, he made that appointment so that you and I would never have to make that appointment. He went to hell and came back so that you would never have to experience that eternal separation from him and God the Father in heaven for eternity. How many are thankful for that invitation? You see, there was the resurrection, there was the invitation, and then he sent them, all right? Matthew 28 and 7 says, go quickly. Look at your neighbor, say, go quickly. You see, the invitation to experience the resurrection caused them to be sent, all right? The angel said, now that you have seen for yourself and have witnessed the empty tomb, I need you to go quickly. I need you to remove yourself from this place because there's going to be a greater purpose for you down the road. How many of you have ever received really good or amazing news, but you forgot to share that news because you delayed in telling somebody about it? You guys are way better than me. I miss stuff all of the time. How many knows that when somebody is expecting a baby, that's big news? Okay, and not to bust out all of their news, all right? But Germonte and Erica are expecting, all right? Now, I knew that like 3 weeks ago. Guess when my wife found out? Like 2 days ago. Why? Not because I didn't think that was great and amazing news. It's because I delayed in telling her that amazing news. You see, so I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can kind of have these amazing things that we need to share with other people. But if we delay and going, all right, what happens is we tend to not really forget them. We kind of put them on the back burner. And so in this moment, the angel said, I need you to go quickly. You see, we can't delay that good news because maybe we think it's unworthy or it's uncredited or anything of that nature. How many knows when you have witnessed something and you know it to be truth and you know it to be powerful, how many knows we need to take that and we need to give that away? Amen. We cannot delay in that process. Again, the angel said, go quickly, which basically means to pursue the purpose without delay. How many of us today, we still need to be pursuing the message that Jesus Christ is risen without delay? Because there's purpose behind that message. You see, delay does not discredit the truth. It just prolongs the purpose from being fulfilled. We need to make sure that we're not prolonging the purpose. Amen. We need to make sure that this morning we're not bringing a delay to this wonderful message. They had to go quickly again because they had a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you've got a purpose. So we know that there's the resurrection, the invitation. We know that they were sent. And here's the purpose. They were sent to exclaim, all right? Matthew 28:7 says, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Simple message, right? Was that really hard? Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. You see, they were sent to exclaim, all right? And when something is exclaimed, it is proclaimed passionately with strong conviction. Do you know why in this moment they would have needed passionately strong conviction? Because despite the fact that his disciples did believe that he was Christ the Messiah, none of them were in a state of hope that believed on that day he was coming back. You see, they were confused. They were lost. They thought, man, this was Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Son of God sent to us to be the Savior of the world, to redeem us, to reconcile us, and to establish God's kingdom here on earth. But you see, they couldn't see the full picture. And because they couldn't see the full picture, discouragement had set in. And so in this moment, he needed these two ladies to take this message and to relay it passionately. How many knows that within a lost and dying world today, we need to take the message of Jesus Christ and relay it passionately? Amen? You see, in this moment, their primary purpose was to make sure that the other disciples knew and understood that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was risen. Now, we know from Scripture they didn't really believe her. But they ran and they checked for themselves. And how many knows that once they checked for themselves, they believed? You see, we have to send the message and we have to let people know. We have to exclaim that truth today. You see, grace manifested itself in person through the resurrection of Christ, bringing salvation for everyone, giving us power over sin and equipping us to live godly lives as we continue to live and to look forward to the fulfillment of that very hope that we have in Jesus, who purchased our freedom and established our eternity. How many knows that we need to make sure that we are allowing other people that same opportunity and invitation that we were given? Amen? You see, and to do that, we have to go. We have to be sent, and we have to exclaim. We have to tell of what God has done. What a privilege and honor it is for us still today to exclaim that he is not here, for he is risen. Amen? They may not believe it at first. They may think you are crazier than a six-legged frog. You see, but at some moment, there's going to be something in their heart that says, man, I have to check that out for myself. I really don't believe them, but I want to believe them. And so I'm going to run to this Jesus, to where he was. You see, and eventually what they're going to find is that when they run to him, they're going to find him. Amen? But they're not going to find him in the tomb. They're going to find him alive because he is risen. Amen? You see, and that leads us to our very last point this morning, and that is a new direction. Matthew 28:8 says, so they went out quickly. You see, there was no way for them to accept the resurrection that left an empty tomb and remain in the same spiritual state that they were in before they arrived to the tomb. How many knows that when you encounter Jesus Christ, you can't help but be changed? When you surrender to the facts, when you surrender to the truth that he is alive, he is resurrected, You see, you're never going to be the same. Beforehand, again, they were in mourning, full of sorrow and grief. They were coming out to put spices on Jesus' body just according to their tradition and their customs. In this moment, they were feeling dejected and hopeless, trying to make sense of all of this thing that just transpired and happened. But then there was an angel and there was an empty tomb and things begin to change. There was a message to give. There was a hope to deliver. And in that moment, they were forever changed. You see, today, can I tell you that there's still a message to deliver? There's still a hope to give, and there's still people that need to be changed and transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. You see, what they were given was a new direction in that moment. They had been given divine directions in which they obeyed immediately, and as a result, it said that there was a godly fear and a great joy that came over them. How many knows that serving the Lord can be fun? Amen. And you've heard me say it before. If you're not having fun serving the Lord, you're doing it wrong. Because I believe that living a Christ-like life, following him step for step, working within his kingdom and his purpose for your life, I believe you can have a blast doing that. Amen. And I believe that he wants us to have that abundant life that he declares. You see, I want you to notice that they were walking upon arrival. They were taking their time getting there, again, because they were in a state of despair, hopelessness. But when they found out that he was risen, when they found out that he was alive, when they found out that they were a part of a bigger purpose and that God needed them to take this information and to begin to spread the fact that he was risen, I want you to notice that it said that they ran. You see, when we become motivated not by ourselves or our situation, but we become motivated by the Spirit of God, how many knows it changes how we react to life? You see, this new hope had a new message. He is not here, for he is risen. You see, in that new hope, it pointed to a purpose and it pointed them in a new direction. How many remember a day when you gave your life to Christ and you were pointed in a new direction? Maybe this morning you're here and you can't relate to that because you've never surrendered your life to Christ. And so you feel like you're just walking the same old road. Can I tell you today that he's risen and he has a purpose for you? And if you will accept him and receive him as your Savior, he will point you in a new direction. And you will begin to feel and fulfill that purpose that he has for your life. You see, today the fact still remains that he is not here, for he is risen. And you're like, man, Pastor, how many times are you going to say that this morning? Probably at least six more. He is risen this morning. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a great prophet. He wasn't just a miracle worker. He was the Son of God, one of the three in the Trinity, sent from heaven to earth. He set everything aside so that you and I could be reconciled by his death back to God the Father. You see, it was his blood that covers our sins still today. But how many knows it's all because he's alive? If you would stand with me this morning. See, again, that fact remains. He is risen. And he is alive. The fact remains this morning that the tomb will forever be empty. The grave is never to be our final resting place. Death has forever been conquered and stripped of its power. Hell has been eternally defeated. And a hope that we have been given is the reality that we can spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever. You see, all of those things that we tend to fear the most in life, death, the unknown, he's already secured. Because he took and he allowed himself to become the ultimate everlasting sacrifice for you and for me so that we could spend eternity in heaven with him. Amen? You see, humanity will never be the same again because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he would not have come out of that grave, we could have said he was a good man. We could have said he was a great prophet. He was an amazing, authoritative teacher. We could have said a lot of different things about him if he would have remained in the grave. But you see, today, he's not in the grave. And we can claim that he is risen, he is alive forevermore, seated at the right hand of the Father, holding all power and authority forevermore. You see, every prophecy fulfilled, the law of God fulfilled, redemption and reconciliation fulfilled, eternity with God the Father fulfilled because he is risen today. And a lot of times, I don't even think we begin to calculate and measure the greatness of the gift that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you today that without that gift, we would be utterly hopeless? There would be no reason for life or happiness or any of those things without the resurrection of Jesus Christ to solidify those good things and to make other things greater and better for our lives. The question for each of us here this morning is, what are we going to do with that fact that he isn't here and he is risen? What are we going to do with that? For some of us, we've already made that commitment to Jesus Christ. For some of us here this morning, we haven't. For those of you who have committed, we need to rejoice and celebrate and remain committed. For those of us who haven't, we need to seriously do a self-check this morning. Let me ask you this. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose to take a leap of faith, a risk, a gamble, whatever you want to call it this morning? To just simply by faith say, Father, I don't understand all of this. I can't comprehend it. I can't fathom an eternal God. I can't fathom him sending his only son. I can't fathom him dying and then overcoming death and being raised from the grave. But Lord, despite that, I'm going to step out. And Lord, I want to give my life to you this morning. I want to surrender to you because, God, I want to be going in a new direction today. I don't want to live the same life that I've lived. I don't want to have to make the same choices that I've made. You see, my hope and challenge to us each today would be that we would accept his invitation, that we would go where he sends us, exclaim his truth, and walk in that new direction as Christ leads us day by day. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the fact that, God, we no longer have to do life the way that maybe we think we have to, because, God, your son has come. He has surrendered his life. God willingly became that ultimate sacrifice for all of time. Lord, that we would not have to live, God, in eternity separated from you. And God, nor, Lord, right now in this present moment, God, do we have to live separated from your power, your presence in our lives. So, Father, I pray that today, as we revisit and we celebrate the fact that, God, your son is not stuck in a tomb somewhere. God, death didn't win. The grave didn't win. Hell didn't win. God, today he is risen victoriously. God, just like he said. Father, help us to recognize that and help us to submit and surrender to that very fact this morning. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.